This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible. Chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang. We love you and him.
Well, no, hello there and welcome. This is Kidnappers Kids. This is your pal Dexter. Yes, I'm having a good day today. I hope you are too. And we're going to start right off with The Selfish Giant.
A long time ago, there lived a very wealthy giant. To him belonged a great castle, which was surrounded by a large and lovely garden. Every afternoon, when they were let out of school, the children used to come to the giant's garden. It was a wonderful place for them to play. The ground was all covered with soft green grass, and here and there over the grass stood many beautiful flowers. There were 12 peach trees, which in the springtime broke out into delicate blossoms of pink and pearl, and in the autumn bore rich fruit. The birds would sit on the trees and sing so sweetly that the children used to pause in their play just to listen to them. And one would say to another,
"How happy we are here."
The children had never seen the giant to whom the garden belonged. He had gone away 7 years before to visit another giant who was a friend of his. But after he had stayed with his friend for 7 years, he had said all that he had to say, for his conversation was limited. And so it was that he determined to return to his own castle. When he arrived there and found the children playing in the garden, he became very angry.
"What are you doing here?"
The children were frightened and ran away. But the giant was not a bit dismayed. In fact, he was glad to see them go. He began at once to build a high wall all around the garden.
"My own garden is my own garden. Anyone can understand that, and I will allow nobody to play in it but myself."
When he finished the wall, he tacked onto it a sign which read,
"Trespassers will be prosecuted."
He was a very selfish giant. The poor children now had nowhere to play. They tried to play on the road, but the road was very dusty and full of hard stones, and they did not like it. They used to wander around the high wall when their lessons were over and talk about the beautiful garden inside. And one would say to another,
"How happy we were there."
The following year, when the spring came, there were little blossoms and little birds all over the countryside. But in the garden of the selfish giant, it was still winter. The birds did not care to sing in it, as no children were there. Even the trees forgot to blossom. One beautiful flower put its head out from under the grass and looked around.
"I wonder why the children are no longer here."
And then it saw the sign on the wall, which plainly read,
"Trespassers will be prosecuted."
What a pity.
And the beautiful flower was so sorry for the children that it slipped back into the ground again and went off to sleep. The only ones who were really pleased with the giant's selfishness were the snow and the frost.
"Spring has forgotten this garden, so we will live here all year round."
And the snow covered up the grass with her great white cloak, and the frost painted all the trees silver. Then they invited the north wind.
"Come and stay with us."
And the north wind came. He was wrapped in furs, and he roared all day about the garden and blew the chimney pots down. He, too, was pleased.
"This is a most delightful spot. We must ask the hail to visit us."
So the hail came, and every day for hours he rattled on the roof of the castle till he broke most of the slates. Then he ran round and round the garden as fast as he could go. He was dressed all in gray, and his breath was like ice. Day after day, the selfish giant sat at the window and looked out at his cold, white garden.
I cannot understand why the spring is so late in coming this year. I hope there will soon be a change in the weather.
But the spring never came, nor did the summer. The autumn gave golden fruit to every garden but that of the giant.
To him I shall give nothing. He is too selfish.
So it was always winter there, and the north wind, and the hail, and the frost, and the snow danced about through the trees. One morning the giant was awakened by what sounded to him like some lovely music. It was really only a little bird singing outside his window. But it was so long since he had heard a bird singing in his garden that it seemed to him to be the most beautiful music in the world. The hail had stopped dancing over his head, and the north wind had ceased roaring.
I do believe the spring has come at last.
And the giant jumped out of bed, hastened over to the window, and looked out. What did he see? He saw a most wonderful sight. Through a little hole in the wall, the children had crept in, and they were sitting in the branches of the trees. In every tree that he could see, there was a little child. And the trees were so glad to have the children back again that they had covered themselves with blossoms and were waving their arms gently above the children's heads. The birds were flying about, and when the giant opened his window, he could hear them twittering with delight. The flowers were looking up through the green grass and laughing. It was a lovely scene, except for one corner where it was still winter. It was the farthest corner of the garden, and in it was standing a little boy. He was so small that he could not reach up to the branches of the tree, and he was wandering all around it, crying bitterly. The poor tree was still quite covered with frost and snow, and the north wind was blowing and roaring above it. The tree bent its branches down as low as it could to help the child reach them.
Climb up, little boy.
But he was too tiny. As the giant looked out, his heart melted. He left the window and crept downstairs.
How selfish I have been. Now I know why the spring would not come here. I will go out and put that poor little boy on the top of the tree, and then I will knock down the wall. From now on, my garden shall be the children's playground forever and ever.
The giant was really very sorry for what he had done. So he opened his front door quite softly and went out into the garden. But when the children saw him, they were so frightened that they all ran away. And the garden became winter again. Only the little boy did not run, for his eyes were so full of tears that he did not see the giant coming. And the giant stole up behind him and took him up gently in his hand and put him into the tree. And the tree broke at once into blossom. And the birds came and sang on it. And the little boy stretched out his two arms and flung them around the giant's neck and kissed him.
Thank you so much.
And the other children, when they saw that the giant was not wicked any longer, came running back. And with them came the spring. And then the giant took a great axe and knocked down the wall.
It is your garden now, little children.
Later that morning, when people passed by on their way to church, they were surprised to find the giant playing with the children in the most beautiful garden they had ever seen. All day long they played, and in the evening they came to the giant to bid him goodbye.
Goodbye! Goodbye! I had a wonderful time!
But where is your little companion, the boy I put into the tree?
I don't know.
He has gone away.
Then you must tell him to be sure and come here with you tomorrow.
But I don't know where he lives. I have never seen him before.
Nor have I.
Nor I.
When the giant heard this, he felt very sad. He loved the little boy best because he had kissed him. The others came and played with him every afternoon when school was over. But the little boy whom he loved was never seen again. The giant was very kind to all the children, yet he longed for his first little friend and often spoke of him.
How I would like to see him.
Years went by, and the giant grew very old and very feeble. He could not play about anymore, so he sat in a huge armchair and watched the children at their games and admired his garden.
I have many beautiful flowers, but the children are the most beautiful flowers of all.
One winter morning, the giant looked out of his window as he was dressing. He did not hate the winter now, for he knew that it was merely the spring asleep, and that the flowers were resting. Suddenly, he rubbed his eyes in wonder. He looked and looked. It was indeed a marvelous sight. In the farthest corner of the garden was a tree quite covered with lovely white blossoms. Its branches were all golden, and silver fruit hung down from them. Underneath the tree stood the little boy he had loved. Downstairs ran the giant in great joy, and out into the garden. He hastened across the grass and drew near to the child. And when he came quite close, his face grew red with anger.
Who hath dared to wound me?
For on the palms of the child's hands were the prints of two nails. And the prints of two nails were on the little feet.
Who hath dared to wound me? Tell me, that I may take my big sword and slay him.
Nay, but these are the wounds of love.
Who art thou?
And a strange awe fell upon the giant, and he knelt before the little child, and the child smiled on the giant.
You once let me play in your garden. Today, you shall come with me to my garden, which is paradise.
And when the children ran in that afternoon, they found the giant lying dead under the tree, all covered with white blossoms.
Okay, then, let's keep cracking on with these ones. And this is Horton Hatches the Egg.
Sighed Maisie, a lazy bird hatching an egg.
I'm tired, and I'm bored, and I've kinks in my leg from sitting, just sitting here day after day. It's work. How I hate it. I'd much rather play. I'd take a vacation, fly off for a rest. If I could only find someone to stay on my nest. If I could find someone, I'd fly away, free!
Then Horton the elephant passed by her tree.
Hello!
Called the lazy bird, smiling her best.
Nothing to do, and I do need a rest. Would you like to sit on the egg in my nest?
The elephant laughed.
Why, of all silly things, I haven't feathers, and I haven't wings. Me on your egg? Why, that doesn't make sense. Your egg is so small, ma'am. And I'm so immense.
Tut, tut,
answered Maisie.
I know you're not small, but I'm sure you can do it. No trouble at all. Just sit on it softly. You're gentle and kind. Come, be a good fellow. I know you won't mind.
I can't,
said the elephant.
Please,
begged the bird.
I won't be gone long, sir. I give you my word I'll hurry right back. Why, I'll never be missed.
Very well,
said the elephant.
Since you insist, you want a vacation? Go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg and I'll try not to break it. I'll stay and be faithful. I mean what I say.
Toodaloo!
Sang out Maisie and fluttered away.
The first thing to do,
murmured Horton.
Let's see. The first thing to do is to prop up this tree and make it much stronger. That has to be done before I climb up it. I must weigh a ton.
Then carefully, tenderly, gently, he crept up the trunk to the nest where the little egg slept. Then Horton the elephant smiled.
Now that's that.
And he sat, and he sat, and he sat, and he sat. And he sat all that day, and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all that night through a terrible storm. It poured, and it lightninged. It thundered, it rumbled.
This isn't much fun,
the poor elephant grumbled.
I wish she'd come back, 'cause I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that Maisie bird doesn't forget.
But Maisie, by this time, was far beyond reach, enjoying the sunshine way off in Palm Beach, and having such fun, such a wonderful rest, decided she'd never go back to her nest. So Horton kept sitting there, day after day. And soon it was autumn. The leaves blew away. And then came the winter, the snow and the sleet. And icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze,
I'll stay on this egg and I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful. 100%.
So poor Horton sat there the whole winter through. And then came the springtime with troubles anew. His friends gathered round and they shouted with glee,
Look, Horton the elephant's up in a tree.
They taunted, they teased him, they yelled,
How absurd! Old Horton the elephant thinks he's a bird!
They laughed, and they laughed, and they all ran away. And Horton was lonely. He wanted to play. But he sat on the egg and continued to say,
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful. 100%. No matter what happens, this egg must be tended.
But poor Horton's troubles were far, far from ended. For while Horton sat there so faithful, so kind, three hunters came sneaking up softly behind. He heard the men's footsteps. He turned with a start. Three rifles were aiming right straight at his heart. Did he run? He did not. Horton stayed on that nest. He held his head high, and he threw out his chest, and he looked at the hunters as much as to say,
Shoot if you must, but I won't run away. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful. 100%.
But the men didn't shoot. Much to Horton's surprise, they dropped their three guns and stared with wide eyes.
Look!
They all shouted.
Can such a thing be? An elephant sitting on top of a tree. This is amazing. He's terribly funny. Say, we could sell him to a circus for money. Let's take him with us. Let's take the egg, too. Let's take the whole tree now. That's just what we'll do.
They dug the tree up, right up out of the ground, with Horton still on it, not making a sound. and they hoisted the tree up right into a wagon with ropes on the front for the pullers to drag on.
"We're off!"
the men shouted, and off they all went, with Horton unhappy. 100%. Mile after mile over rough jungle road, they yanked and they pulled and they dragged the strange load. Day and night they bumped on, without ever a stop, with the tree in the wagon and Horton on top. He could have jumped off, but he'd given his word that he'd sit and take care of that egg for that bird. So he gritted his teeth and he swallowed a sob. And faithful old Horton stayed right on the job. Night and day they bumped on till he thought he would die. They dragged him up mountains 10,000 feet high. Then down, down the mountains, right down to the sea, went the cart with the elephant, egg, nest, and tree. Then out of the wagon and onto a ship, out over the ocean. And oh, what a trip! Rolling and tossing and splashed with the spray. And Horton said day after day after day,
"I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. But oh, am I seasick!" 100%.
After bobbing around for 2 weeks like a cork, they landed at last in the town of New York.
"Ashore!"
the men shouted, and down with a lurch went Horton the elephant, still on his perch, still on the egg that could just scarcely hold him. Bump, Horton landed, and then the men sold him. Sold to a circus. Then week after week they showed him to people at 10 cents a peek. They took him to Boston, to Kalamazoo, Chicago, Weehawken, and Washington, too. To Dayton, Ohio, St. Paul, Minnesota, to Wichita, Kansas, to Drake, North Dakota. And everywhere, thousands of folks flocked to see and laugh at the elephant up in a tree. Poor Horton grew sadder the farther he went. But he said as he sat in the hot, noisy tent,
"I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful. 100%.
Then one day, the circus show happened to reach a town way down south, not so far from Palm Beach. And dawdling along way up high in the sky, who of all people should chance to fly by but that old good-for-nothing bird, Runaway Maisie, still on vacation and still just as lazy. And spying the flags and the tents just below, she sang out,
"What fun! Why, I'll go to the show!"
And she swooped from the clouds through Horton's tent door.
"Good gracious!"
gasped Maisie.
"I've seen you before!"
Poor Horton looked up with his face white as chalk. He started to speak. But before he could talk, there suddenly rang out the strangest weird squeaks from the egg he had sat on for 51 weeks. A thumping, a bumping, a wild, alive scratching.
"My egg!"
shouted Horton.
"My egg! Why, it's hatching!"
"But it's mine!"
screamed the bird when she heard the egg crack. The work was all done. Now she wanted it back.
"It's my egg!"
she sputtered.
"You stole it from me! Get off of my nest and get out of my tree!"
Poor Horton backed down with a sad, heavy heart. But at that very instant, the egg burst apart. And out of the pieces of red and white shell from the egg that he'd sat on so long and so well, Horton the elephant saw something whiz. It had ears and a tail and a trunk just like his.
"My goodness!"
gulped Horton.
"Good gracious! My word! It looks just like me! But with wings like a bird."
and the elephant bird began whizzing about, and the people all stared with their eyes popping out. And they cheered, and they cheered, and they cheered more and more. They'd never seen anything like it before. Then the elephant bird perched on Horton's proud head, and he opened his mouth, and you know what he said? He said, which in elephant bird language means daddy. And it should be. It should be. It should be like that. Because Horton was faithful. He sat and he sat. He meant what he said and he said what he meant. And now he was happy. 100%.
Remember now, Kidnapper's Kids is on the fantastic Radio Hawke's Bay. Yes, indeedy. With lots of other lovely programs that you can listen to. Check it out on the website and such. And now we have Christopher Robin at Buckingham Palace.
They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. Now Alice is marrying one of the guard. A soldier's life is terrible hard, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace, and Christopher Robin went down with Alice. We saw a guard in a sentry box. One of the sergeants looks after the socks, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace. Christopher Robin went down with Alice. We looked for the Queen, but she never came. Well, God take care of her all the same, says Alice. They've great big parties inside the grounds. I wouldn't be queen for £100, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace, and Christopher Robin went down with Alice. A face looked out, but it wasn't the Queen's. She's much too busy assigning things, says Alice. They're changing guard at Buckingham Palace, and Christopher Robin went down with Alice.
Do you think the Queen knows all about me?
Oh, sure to, dear, but it's time for tea, says Alice. Says Alice.
A lot of you wouldn't have a clue who this is, but here's my best worst impersonation of Fife Robinson introducing the next story. Yes, indeed, thank you very much. This is Fife Robinson speaking here, and we're about to have Bad Jelly the Witch. I hope you enjoy this show, young kiddies.
Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was a little boy and girl. Their names were Tim and Rose. Tim was 6 years old and Rose was 5. Tim had black hair and blue eyes. Rose had red hair that hung down to her waist.
Tickle, tickle, tickle.
And green eyes like the sea. They lived with their mummy and daddy in a big log cabin made from trees with a yellow straw roof, and little birds made nests for their eggs in it.
Egg, egg, egg.
Their daddy was a fisherman, and he caught fish in a big lake near the house. Their mummy used to bake lovely fresh bread for them, and in the evenings, by the fire, she would play the trombone for them. They had a fluffy cat called Fluffy Bum. And a white puppy dog called Pom Pom, who was very clever and could play the piano with his tail. Every morning, Tim and Rose used to go to Lucy their cow to get some milk for their breakfast. But when they got to the shed where Lucy lived, the door was opened and Lucy was gone. So the children ran to the field where Lucy used to eat the grass and they shouted, "Lucy! Lucy! Where are you?" But there was no sound of Lucy anywhere. "Look, Rose," said Tim, and he pointed to the ground where they could see Lucy's hoof marks in the mud. "Let's follow them and see where she's gone," said Rose. They started to follow the hoof marks. They walked and walked, walked and walked and walked and walked. "Are you getting tired?" said Tim. "Only my legs," said Rose. After a long while, the children came to a big forest with very big trees, some as tall as a church and some as thick as their teacher's legs at school. There was still no sign of Lucy the cow.
"Whoop, whoop, whoop, whoop."
"It's getting very dark at night time," said Rose. "We better go home or Mummy and Daddy will be worried about us." "No," said Tim. "We must find Lucy first, or she might get lost forever, and we would never have milk on our eggs again." So on they went into the great black forest, but it got so dark they couldn't see where to go.
"Oh, are you frightened?" said Rose.
Only a little bit," said Tim.
"Oh, I feel so sleepy," said Rose. "So do I," said Tim. "You better find someone to sleep soon."
Just then a little voice said,
"Oh, you can come and sleep in my tree."
Oh, the children looked around but couldn't see anyone. "Who said that?" Tim said.
"I did,"
said a little voice. The children looked down, and there, standing in a little door at the bottom of a tree, was a teeny-weeny man, as tiny as a matchstick. And he was wearing a buttercup yellow jacket, black trousers with pink spots, and red shiny shoes with gold buckles, and a white pointed hat with a sausage sewn on the front. And with him was a green grasshopper, which the little man had on a dog's lead. "Good heavens, who are you?" said the children.
"My name is Binklebonk," he said. "I'm a tree goblin. I live in this tree, and this grasshopper is my guard dog, and his name is Silly Sausage."
Then Silly Sausage, the grasshopper dog, went, "Woof!
Meow! Quick! Woof! Meow!"
"What a funny grasshopper," said Tim. "He wanted making a funny noise."
"Yes," said Binklebonk. "That's why I call him Silly Sausage."
"Oh, what's that?" Then they heard strange noises coming from the dark forest.
"Quick!
Quick!" "Good heavens, what was that?" said the children.
"Oh, that's a tin lion," said Binklebonk.
"Well, why did he go squeak?" said Tim.
"Oh, he gets rusty from sleeping in the rain. Oh, you better come inside before he comes."
"We're too big to get into that tiny door," said the children.
"Oh, don't worry about that," said Binklebonk. "I can make the tree grow bigger."
"You can't," said the children.
Yes, I can,"
said Binklebonk.
"Watch me."
He took his finger and he pressed a button on his suit and sang this song.
"Tree, tree, 1, 2, 3, please grow very big for me."
And like magic, the tree got bigger and bigger and bigger. Woo! Until the door was big enough for them all to get in.
"Follow me,"
said Binklebonk, and they all ran inside and locked the door. They followed Binklebonk up a round and round and round staircase, and all the way up there were fireflies and glowworms lighting the darkness. When they got to the top, there were two lovely little children's bedrooms, a white one with red roses for Rose and a lemon one with brown teddy bears for Tim.
windows shut tonight, said Binklebonk, because there are some trouser robbers in the woods.
Trouser robbers, said the children?
Yes, they might rob Tim's trousers, and in the morning poor Tim would have to go without his trousers, just his bare bottom. And a chicken might peck it and make him jump up in the air. Sleep tight, children, said Binklebonk.
Before they went to bed, Binklebonk gave them a real goblin supper. Some nuts, honey, and some real beautiful sweet dandelion tea. And before they went to sleep, the children asked Binklebonk if they had seen Lucy the cow go by the tree.
Well, a black and white cow did go by here this morning.
Rose said, was he wearing a hat?
Yes, she was wearing a straw hat.
Hooray! Said the children. That's our Lucy. So the children went to sleep very, very happy because they knew that their milk was still alive. Good night, Tim, said Rose. Good night, Rose, said Tim. During the night, there was a terrible thunderstorm with fork lightning, knife lightning, and spoon lightning. What a funny storm, said Tim. Outside, the rain was pouring onto the trees. Lots of birds' nests got full of water, and all the baby birdies were standing on the side and diving in like a swimming pool. Splash! All the time, the poor old Tin Lion was saying, oh dear, all this rain is making me rusty. Roar, roar, squeak, squeak, roar, roar, squeak. Next morning, the rain stopped, and the sun came up and said, come on, time to get up, everybody. I'm going to be very good today. I promise I will shine all day, and I won't hide behind any clouds. Binklebonk came in and gave the children a cup of fresh grasshopper's milk, some honey and fairy cakes. And when they were dressed, the children said, goodbye, Binklebonk.
Goodbye.
And off they went to find Lucy the cow.
Be very careful in forest, said a little robin redbreast, because there's a wicked witch in there. Her name, Bad the Jelly. She catches little children and turns them into sausage and eat them up. Sometimes she chops children up and make boy-girl soup.
Oh, dear, said the children. On and on they went, on and on, until they came to a big river with water rushing over ragged rocks. The children didn't know how to get across, so they sat down to think how to do it.
Oh, oh! Mind where you're sitting, you silly boy, said a voice from underneath Tim's bottom. It was a little worm. You big silly. You nearly squashed me flat like a shoelace.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Worm, said Tim. What's your name? The worm came right out of the ground. And he was wearing a long, thin shirt with the drawings of red noses and overdrafts on it.
My name is Mudwiggle, said the worm.
Oh, Mr. Wiggle, did you see a cow wearing a straw hat yesterday?
Yeah, said Mudwiggle. She trod on my tail, so I kung-fued her into the river. Ho, ha, ho, 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 moo, she went.
Oh, you must be very strong, said Tim.
I'm the strongest worm in all the world. Do you know why? Because, dum-dum-dum-dum-dum, I eat mud. Lots of mud.
The worm told the children that Lucy had swum across the river the other day and he'd help her to get a hat out of the water.
Oh, good. Can you help us get across, said Rose. All right, then, said Mudwiggle. I'll just put my swimming costume and overcoat on because the water might be cold.
When he did that, he got into the river.
First, I'll take Rose, right? Get in the river, Rose, and hold my tail.
Come on, then, what are you waiting for? Well, I... Which end is your tail, said Rose.
Oh, dear, said Mudwiggle. I'll wear my hat so you know which end is which. So he put on a big red top hat with a piece of cheese on top. That's in case I meet any hungry mice, said Mudwiggle, who's also a Boy Scout.
Rose got hold of his tail, and the funny worm dived in and swam across. And then he came back for Tim.
But when they were halfway across, a huge giant killer shark saw Tim's legs swimming in the water. So he thought, I'll eat him up.
Look out, said Rose. Shark! Shark! The shark was just going to bite Tim when wallop, bonk, thud! Mudwiggle hit the horrible shark right on the nose. Boom!
Oh, my nose! My poor old shark's nose, said the shark. This is going to ruin the act.
So he swam away to the shark's nose hospital.
"Goodbye, children," said Mudwiggle, and swam away. The sun was shining very hot, and soon the children's clothes were all nice and dry. Then they saw an apple tree, so they plucked two big, juicy red apples.
"Oh, my apples, oh, my apples," said the tree. "I've never heard an apple tree talk before," said Rhoda. I'm not an apple tree. I'm really a policeman. But I was turned into an apple tree by the witch called Bad Jelly. "I want to go back to my police station and my whistle and my jam sandwich," he said.
The children said, "Oh, we are so sorry to hear this. We can't help you because we can't do magic. But if we see another policeman, we'll tell him that you're here and to bring you your whistle and your jam sandwich."
Thank you very much," said the policeman.
The children went on walking until they came to a big mountain, but it had a big white beard on. "What a silly mountain," said the children. "Why has it got a beard on?" A little mouse popped his head out of a hole in the ground.
"He's got a beard because he's lost his razor," said the mouse.
"Well, we've never heard of a mountain with a beard," said Tim.
"He's very old, that's why. And I'm not really a mouse, you see. I've been turned into a mouse by Bad Jelly, the terrible witch."
"Poor little furry mouse," thought Rose. "What's your name?" said Tim.
"My name," said the mouse, "is Dingle Mouse."
"Well, what were you before the witch turned you into a mouse?" said the Rose.
"I was a banana," said Dingle Mouse, "so be careful. If you see her, you run away from her. Remember her name, Bad Jelly."
The children said they would remember her name and they would hide if they saw her. "Well, we must go and look for Lucy the Cow now," said the children.
Wait a minute. "Can I come with you?" said Dingle Mouse, "and be your friend? I got a good singing voice. Just listen to this. Fiddle diddle dee, I'm a little flea. I ran up Daddy's trouser legs and I bit him on a knee."
The children liked his singing and said, "All right, you can come with us and look for Lucy." Tim picked up Dingle Mouse and put him in his trouser pocket.
"I like travelling this way," said the mouse. "It's very dark in here," said Dingle Mouse. "Where's the light switch?"
Rose and Tim laughed. "You silly mouse. You don't have a light switch in little boys' trouser pockets."
"How did I know that? I never travel by trouser pocket."
So now they all set off to find Lucy. They were climbing up and up a big mountain, and it was getting very cold, and it started to snow.
"Oh, I'm freezing cold," said Rose. "I'm shivering too," said Tim.
Just then, a voice behind them said,
"Hello, children. Can I help you?"
Tim turned round and saw an old woman dressed in black.
"Don't be frightened," she said. "I can make you nice and warm in a few seconds. Just get inside this nice sack and you'll be nice and warm."
"Oh, thank you, old woman," said Tim. "We were nearly freezing to death."
As soon as the children got into the sack, the old woman screamed,
"Ah! Got you!"
She tied the sack up tight.
"I'm going to eat you all up because I'm Bad Jelly, the baddest witch in all the world."
She put the sack on her back, jumped onto a broomstick and flew up, 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 up into the sky.
"Someone please help us," shouted Tim.
No one could hear him because they were very high in the sky. The witch took the children to her castle on top of the mountain. It was made of iron.
"Ow, my head!"
And only the witch had the key to get in. At the gate was a huge, horrible monster. His body was red and sticky. It had giant eyes as big as windows and sharp yellow teeth like needles. And its tongue was made of fire, and all its spit turned to steam. It went. When Bad Jelly ever ate children, she used to put them on the monster's fire tongue to cook them. The witch opened the door. Inside was her servant, a giant called Dullboot. He was as big as a house. He had purple hair and 10 eyes all round his head. so he could see if he had pimples on his back. Bad Jelly told the giant to take the sack with the children in it.
Put them into a dark room right at the top of the prison. And don't let them out of the sack. I'm going to eat them when the sun comes up in the morning with peanut butter.
All right, said the giant.
He carried the sack up thousands of steps. He opened a door and he threw the sack with the children in on the cold stone floor and locked the door. Poor Tim and Rose were crying. Then out of Tim's pocket popped Dingle Mouse.
Don't cry! Don't cry, children. I got sharp teeth. Watch this.
And he started to nibble and nibble, and he made a hole big enough for them to get out of the sack. Poor Rose was crying.
We'll never see our mother or daddy again. Tomorrow the witch will eat us all up with peanut butter.
The sun was going down, and the room was getting very dark. Dingle Mouse suddenly cried,
I got an idea. You got an idea. I got an idea. I know a big, strong eagle called Jim. He's my friend, and he owes me money. I'll go and try and get him.
Dingle Mouse jumped up on the ledge, doo, and climbed the ivy on the outside of the tower all the way down to the ground.
Please hurry! Hurry! The witch is going to kill us in the morning, said the children.
So Dingle Mouse ran as fast as he could. He ran so fast, his tail caught fire, and he had to sit in a bucket of cold water to put it out.
Oh, that's better.
Dear, it was so sad. Back at the children's home, their mummy was crying.
Oh, my poor children, where are they?
And Daddy said, I look everywhere, dear. I think some terrible animal in the forest must have eaten them.
Mother cried.
I'll never be able to play the trombone to them again, she said.
By now, Dingle Mouse had reached the tree where Jim the giant eagle was asleep.
An eagle?
Jim! Jim, wake up! Jim, wake up! Jim, yep-a-dub-a-doo!
Jim was a beautiful eagle with brown feathers on his body, white feathers on his head, and a big yellow beak and blue eyes, and he was nearly as strong as God.
Hurry up, Jim! The witch is gonna eat the children when the sun comes up with peanut butter!
So Jim the eagle quickly took off his pajamas. Dingle Mouse jumped on Jim's back, and away they flew!
Faster, Jim, faster! The sun will soon be coming up! Hurry! Hurry! Hurry!
Back in the prison room, the children were looking out the window.
Can you see anyone coming to save us, Tim? Said Rose. No, no, I can't, said Tim. Oh, look, said Rose. The sun is starting to come up. Listen! I can hear the witch coming up the stairs.
I'm coming to get you,
screamed the witch. They could see her through the keyhole, and she had a big sharp knife.
But wait, look, said Rose, out the window. It's Jim the Eagle. Jim the Eagle is coming.
The witch was starting to open the door. Now Jim the Eagle flew up to the window. Quick, children, get on my back, hurry. But the witch was opening the door. The children were getting on Jim's back.
Stop them!
Screamed the witch.
Stop them!
But the children were on the mighty eagle's back, and away they flew, away from the terrible witch. And she was so angry, she screamed,
Stinky Poo! Stinky Poo! Knickers, knickers, knickers!
Then she jumped on her fastest broomstick and started to chase after the children. And she took a magic powder to throw on the children and turn them into Chinaman's legs. Jim the Eagle flew up and up, and he hid inside a cloud. And the witch flew round and round. Round and round the cloud she flew, waiting for Jim and the children to come out. Just then God came along, and when he saw what the wicked witch was going to do to Tim and Rose, he told the witch, go away.
No, I won't! I won't!
Said the witch, and tried to scratch God's eyes out. So God pointed his finger at the witch and... The witch had burst like a bomb and disappeared in smoke, and her broomstick turned into a sky snake that flew up to the moon. When Jim the Eagle saw that Bad Jelly was dead,
He flew the children back to the witch's castle to look for Lucy.
Lucy! Lucy! There she is, said Rose. And there, chained to the wall, was poor Lucy. Quickly, Jim flew down next to her, and she was so pleased to see the children, she licked them on their faces. And she went, moo, oh, moo.
Jim the Eagle broke her chain with his beak. But then the back door of the castle opened, and out came Dullboot, the giant.
Get away from that cow. It belongs to me. She's my dinner, he said.
And he drew out his sword, and he tried to chop the children's heads off. But Jim grabbed the giant by his hair. Ooh! While Dingle Mouse jumped on the giant, nibbled his belt, and down came the giant's trousers.
Oh, help, said the giant. I'm showing my bare bottom. And he ran away to Bare Bottom Land.
Now we're all safe, said Tim. Hooray, said everybody.
Yes, thanks to Dingle Mouse and Jim, said Rose. And she gave them both a beautiful big kiss. Then Jim got the children and Dingle Mouse on his back. He grabbed Lucy's horns in his strong claws. And he flew up, up, and flew them all the way back to their home. But when their mummy and daddy saw them fly down on the back of a giant eagle with Lucy hanging underneath, they got frightened and they ran inside the house and hid.
Don't be frightened, mummy and daddy, said Tim and Rose. He's only an eagle. Oh, no, no, we're frightened to come out of that giant eagle. He'll kill us.
No, no, he won't, said Rose and Tim. He's friendly, he's kind, he'll help you.
All right, then, if you say so.
Down they flew and landed. Don't be frightened, Mummy and Daddy. Jim is a kind eagle and he saved our lives, said Tim and Rose as they landed. And up popped Dingle Mouse.
Oh, so did I help save their lives too, he said.
So Mummy and Daddy came out with a big bag of jelly babies and cream cakes and they gave them to Jim and Dingle Mouse. Then they all played Ring of Rosies and then they blindfolded Lucy and played Blind Cow's Buff. And they lived happily ever after. Good night, children.
If there's something that you'd like to listen to, yes, I'm sort of evolving into David Attenborough here at the moment. Not quite sure where it's going to, but anyway, if there's something that you'd like to listen to, you give us a call on 8788710 and we'll see what wilderness creatures that we can bring to your door. There was a crooked man.
There was a crooked man. He walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house. There was a crooked man, and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile. He bought a crooked cat, which caught a crooked mouse, and they all lived together in a little crooked house. There was a crooked man, and he walked a crooked mile. He found a crooked sixpence against a crooked stile.
Well, now, thanks very much for that interesting voices and people and things there that are going on inside my head. Last up we have, I am the king of the castle. Yes. So you have a great week, I'll have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Don't forget, be kind to one another. Ta-da for now.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.